guys. Welcome back to the 84th episode of the 443 podcast. It seems like me and Reese have been apart for a long time. It feels like I haven't seen you in a month.
Yeah, we just made out before we started recording, guys.
We're still holding hands. Paco was like, get a room.
The vibes are just the best in the studio.
And
man,
I was like, Paco, we are in a room. And he just looked at me and went to sleep.
Yeah, Paco's pissed about not going to the park today, man. That's the
issue.
We're
going to start off, Dave, with a little bit of a different, same format, just kind of different vibes, because the FA Cup finished yesterday. There were no games on Saturday, and earlier in the week, the Europa League teams are playing this week played. So, Reese, let's jump into the FA Cup. Crystal Palace 1, Man City 0 at the Wembley.
Matt, when I saw Palace and City walking out, you know, of the tunnel, and
you sexted me, and it got me to go watch the game, and then I realized I couldn't watch it, so I just watched clips of it on the FA Cup's Instagram page.
They were walking out, dude, and the scenes on the Palace side, dude, it just felt inevitable, Matt. I don't know what it is, but when these fans...
First major trophy they've ever had.
Exactly, and like, I didn't think they would lose it. To begin with,
I thought it would go to penalties if they didn't win it on the pitch.
Yeah,
and then I thought it would go to City.
Got you. Well, speaking of penalties, before we get to the penalty that happened, and there's some drama around that we'll have to discuss. Mm-hmm. 18th minute, ball goes in from Munoz to Eze, who has a very nice low driven volley right from the middle of the, I guess right from the PK spot, really is where he ended up at, and buried at bottom corner. And the place went just freaking nuts. Wembley is a very historic stadium, something that my team struggles at for some reason in domestic finals. We can't win there, but I know you have had some success in the Wembley Stadium. It's different scenes, man, and you felt like the Super Eagle wall was present when they scored.
What was crazy is that like there are people, like I think Wrighty was there, Rebecca Lowe was there. Yep. It was just like everybody who was associated with Palace at some point or as a fan, just like celebrities just showed up.
Yeah. I didn't know half of these people were Palace Eagles fans. I only knew of Rebecca Lowe because she had mentioned it a couple times.
And Wrighty basically started his top career. Professional career there.
Got you. Okay.
Arsenal made him into what he is, but he got his start there.
Gotcha.
But like even me, my first ever Premier League game, I know I've mentioned this before, I didn't know if I could go get the ticket because I bought it from somebody shady in Chelsea, a proper Chelsea hooligan who was a friend of my friend from up north who sold me the ticket, and I didn't know if it would work. I bought it on a Friday. I said, you know what? I'm going to hedge my bets. I don't have anything going on this Saturday. I'm going to go
see if the ticket works.
Yeah, Fulham was playing Queen's Park Rangers, so I decided not to go to that game, which is stupid on my part now because I'm literally writing a book about that subject. So I decided to go down and to Selhurst Park and catch Crystal Palace versus West Bromwich Albion. Run down old stadium. If you've seen Ted Lasso, they film it at Selhurst Park. It just has the old proper vibes, and I was in this rackety old wooden stand. That every time when we started doing the jump and the chants,
creaking noise,
the creaking noises made me feel like I was gonna die. but I had a great time, man. And then as the sun started to go down, I had to figure out how to get out of there. Google wasn't working, so I went into a Jamaican restaurant. A woman made her grandson escort me to the train so I wouldn't get robbed.
That's hype. See, man, that's how you know you're in a good community, man.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're American, you're a loss. Yeah, hey, take him to the train. And then he kind of looked at me, and I gave him like £5, and he was like, thanks, geezer. And I'm like, all right.
Hopefully the train home wasn't too bad.
Oh, Jamie, it was empty, man. I thought I was going to get shanked because there's only one guy got on at the next stop and just kind of stared at me the whole time. But no, how do I put this? Like, Crystal Palace is
I'll speak for you on this one. Yeah. It has a special place in your heart because it's almost like not your first club, but it's in that your second club who you have some love with.
I had a crush on a girl, but then I met another girl at a party and made out with her. And then that was my first kiss when I wanted to be with the other girl, but I couldn't get it to work. And I just happened to have that fun thing first. But, how do I put this? It's like, I'm glad Crystal Palace won, but I loved all the social media talk that they were basically saying City had the FA Cup locked up. And it was just a foregone conclusion that it was like Chelsea, Man City, and then Tottenham or Man United were going to win a trophy this year. Ha ha, Arsenal. And now it's like City, as we stand right now, are out of Europe.
Yeah.
or sorry, they're in the Europa League. They're out of Champions League.
Yeah, and they play on Tuesday, so very important game for them. They're very similar to Chelsea. They have three finals that they've had to play the last couple of days. They've lost one of them. They've got two more opportunities to get some
sort
of...
Didn't they draw the first final? Oh, no, no. They have this Bournemouth game and then next weekend. You're right. My bad. Because they drew to Southampton the week before, which set them up for this bad position they're in.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace has had the best season they could hope for. They may even get Europe, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah.
If you guys qualify for Champions League, win the conference, Europe could maybe open up to them.
Well, they're already in Europe because of winning the FA Cup, aren't they?
Oh, that's right. You're right. They're in the
Europa
League.
So they're in the Europa League. Yeah. That's crazy. So, and I remember earlier in the season...
Oh, and when everyone was doing those predictions, nobody predicted that somebody other than City was going to win that cup.
Yeah. And I remember we
so
talked about...
So now that opens up another spot.
We talked about this
the
earlier...
Top,
in,
the top 10 or 11 could be in Europe.
We talked about this earlier in the season that Palace had some struggles to begin with. And we were a little bit worried about them, not necessarily relegating, but just finishing bottom half... comfortably bottom half where like Tottenham and United are right now.
Because I remember both you and me put them in the top 10 and then they started out the season in not the just above the relegation zone. Like they drew one, lost one, won one. It was rough at the beginning part of the season.
I want to talk about the penalty. So obviously the penalty taker typically is Erling Haaland, who was healthy. They also had Kevin De Bruyne present, who is also a very respectable penalty kick taker, I would say.
I'd say beyond respectable.
Exactly.
I'd say if you rank the top 20 penalty takers in European football, he'd be in there.
Exactly. So what they do instead was, let's give it
maybe
to the...
Maybe global football, he might make still make the cut.
They like, let's give it to Omar Marmoush. Now, Omar, since his first couple of games, has struggled a little bit. He was looking scary when he first joined. He looked like he brought back City entirely.
But then teams figured out how to play him, and then they kind of clamped him down.
Exactly. So I'm trying to find my predictions, just see where I had Palace previously sitting, but I'll get there. Oh, I found it. I had Palace finishing 12th. So I think they're finishing like, what, 13th, 14th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, I had them predicted in 10th.
Got you.
So, because I think I predicted them a little bit higher.
But just back to the pen.
What Glasner did last year.
Yeah. And it's a Glasner hello again, by the way. Forgot to mention that. But back to the penalty thing. Like, I thought it was questionable to begin with. You could tell when he stepped up to took it, he had minimal confidence in himself. And that was a great, it was good, decent placement. Like, the penalty wasn't bad. He picked a side. He could have buried it a little bit further inside netting, but it was great accuracy, but it was a great save from Dean Henderson.
So I'm going to use this. So Thomas asked me an example of why a goal, like somebody would foul somebody with a handball or foul him in the box. And I go, because I said that the guy from Uruguay who bites people, Suarez.
Yeah.
I use that as an example. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, he took it from 100% chance they're going to score to a 60-40.
Yeah.
And 50-50. And Tom's like, well, why would you do that? And I was like, well, because if you're going to give up the goal and you're not doing great, if you take it from 90 to 100 and you take it from 60 to 40, I take the 40 odds over the 90 to 10.
Yeah.
Or
and
90 to 100.
I would also say, like, it is situational. Like,
and this is basically it. He took it from a 90 to 100 and turned it into a 70-30 and got that 30.
Exactly. And I'd say it's situational on when you would want to give up those types of penalties. Like when Suarez did it, it was in like the 89th, 90th minute. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, shortly into the second half. So it felt risky at the time.
But this was a very tight, rough game. And whoever got this, whoever did that was going to basically decide the game. And what's funny is if it was Haaland, if Haaland decided to take it, I would have put it at 50 or 70-30 for them to score and 30 or 80-20.
80-20 easily. Because when you take a penalty,
80% chance for Haaland to score.
A typical penalty taker, like it's basically 90% chance if you have Haaland, Kane, and Salah up there. But if it's like, if it is an Omar Marmoush, for example, I would take those odds too. And Palace capitalized. Now, Matt, I want you to set the stage. For what the incident occurred with, which caused Pep to go after our boy Dean Henderson post game, saying he was time wasting. Did you see any of that?
I didn't see that at all. So he set it up for me because I don't.
Yeah, so there was a point in the game where I guess I don't know what happened, but Dean Henderson has started taking a little bit too long to take his goal kick or something like that. And Pep, right after the game, goes up to Dean Henderson and just starts screaming at him, had to be separated. All because of time wasting, as if the king himself, Pep, didn't coach a Barcelona team.
Or a City, or a Bayern team.
Who would tiki-taka for about 20 minutes after being up 1-0 in a game. Like, I don't understand. But
well,
Matt, that,
what's funny is he's the guy who's like the Steve Kerr where he broke the modern game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, then you get mad that they used what you started. Well, I know this wasn't started by him, but it was popularized by him. I know Stoke did it before, when I first started watching, when he was still at Barcelona.
Yeah, Pep killed football is what
the pundit, ruined, some pundits yeah, say.
The media thing.
Is that
Pep ruined football? But what do you think about the okay, there was an opportunity for City to score. They had an offside given. Very, very close decision. I'm blanking if they had a goal that was disallowed or it was a foul that was disallowed that was very controversial.
I think it was a foul. I'm not sure it went to a goal.
Got you. But I don't know, Matt. VAR has been, I'd say, pretty consistent the last month or so since they've introduced the semi-automated offside. They got a Nico Jackson call correctly last weekend. They've been a little bit more consistent, I'd say, recently. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking the foul that occurred, but there was a lot of drama that came up on the City side that there should have been something given.
Well, and you and me haven't watched City as much this year, except when they play our teams. But when they played, I watched 4 City games this year, 2 Chelsea, 2 against Arsenal, and maybe a 5th one against Newcastle or something like that. And when they are down, they get very pouty. Everything turns into like a
drama,
crisis. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I know our teams do it too, but it just seems like because they have a giant Norwegian 6'5" guy who just like looks like you. I can't say anything nice about it. Looks very angry about any minor thing. It just seems like it's more shocking than when you see like Declan Rice go like this or Cole Palmer like kind of go, "Hey, bro."
Yeah, when Cole Palmer's pissed, he kind of just violently curses
at them. His chin disappears when he gets pissed.
And he just violently curses at the referees, you know.
But it's like his chin disappears into his neck.
He's got a couple chins on him. He's got the Reese look for sure, a little bit. But, Matt, any final thoughts on this game before
we... glad for Crystal Palace is all I really got to say.
Oh,
I know it was controversial and City fans are upset about it and they say they got robbed, but other teams have gotten robbed against them. It just, you know... It cracks me up as an Arsenal fan. Like, people are always making fun of us that we make fun out everything to be a big deal. But it's like we kind of every 5 to 7 games have something like this happen.
Yeah.
It shows that it doesn't happen to City as much because they are absolutely apoplectic about it.
100%. And by the way, guys, we are not doing predictions this episode. We will save that for Tuesday when we recap the Monday and Tuesday
games. 3 games during the work week. We'll get back to you guys on Tuesday with those and then the preview. We're going to probably turn this one to a short one. So let's get to the Europa League setup.
Yes.
All right, guys. So Europa League setup, we're calling this because these 2 games were played on, was it Thursday?
Friday.
Friday. Thank you, sir. Friday. I was out of it on Friday. Like, my energy dropped as soon as I got off work. I passed out with Paco for 2 hours, and it was a rough day. So set this thing up. Let's go to Tottenham versus Villa first. This was played at Tottenham Stadium, correct?
Villa Stadium,
where Villa won 2-0 over a heavily rotated Tottenham Hotspur side.
Yeah, just to give you guys some ideas about this Tottenham team, we had Matheus Tell starting up top, who's typically the left winger for Spurs. We had... Mikey Moore, who is a very heavily rated prospect coming out of Spurs, but he's only 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Definitely hasn't gotten a bunch of play time. Kevin Canso, we saw Kinski again, the kinky boy that we had referenced a little bit earlier. That sounded crazy. Not kinky boy. Please don't quote me on that, folks.
No, I've called him the kinky boy.
But yeah, heavily rotated side. Now it goes into halftime, 0-0.
Fun fact about him, he's on one of those movie review sites and people have found him. He didn't like Sinners.
Interesting.
He gave it 2 out of 5 stars.
Have you seen it?
I love Sinners. I'm going to make my friend who hasn't seen it work. I'm going to make him go next Friday or Saturday. I'm going to pull up like old school and say, get in the RAV4. Paco's going to have a gun.
He's going to have his shades on.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna put him in a baseball hat.
I was going to wait for Sinners to come out on streaming services.
I say if you... want to see it, it's a film that needs to be viewed in a cinema. It's cinema that needs to be viewed in a movie theater, however you want to say it.
Okay.
I don't say that about every movie. Like Thunderbolts, I like Thunderbolts better than it, but I could have watched Thunderbolts in my bedroom.
That's fair.
Because it doesn't have moments that you need to see in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
No, yeah, the picture is
yeah,
is
the
different.
Picture, the surround sound, Thunderbolts the didn't darkness.
Have, Thunderbolts didn't have that type of scenery in that movie where you could watch it. I'm with you. You know what, man? You may have convinced me. Maybe I'll have the lady pull the lady along with me. But
I just don't understand. My friend could be a Coogler fan, and I want to go see this. To me, it's his best work.
That's crazy.
I hate to say it, man. I like it better than both the Black Panthers. I like it better than... I'm drawing a blank on the other movies. I've seen stuff of his before he made Black Panther.
Creed? Wasn't
yeah,
one of them
Creed?
Yeah,
Creed 3.
Yeah.
And yeah, Creed 1, 2, and 3 were all him, right?
I believe... I remember Creed 1. I didn't look at the... I don't remember who directed...
Okay, we'll stop the Ryan Coogler talk. We'll figure this out on our own time, guys. We're not wasting your time. All right, so back to this game.
Just watch Sinners is what Matt's saying.
Watch Sinners in a movie theater before it goes away. My buddy saw it at an IMAX. He said it was even better. He's seen it 3 times.
Okay.
I'm going to go see it twice. But back to Spurs. So you're already talking about how heavily rotated the side was. We'll get to their counterpart in the Europa League who did not rotate their team because this is your game. Yeah. We're going to go in order this week. Simply because of the way the games were played. We'll talk Chelsea next, give them their focus, and then talk every game between Chelsea and Arsenal and end with Arsenal. But these two coaches are doing very different things, and it worries me about what Tottenham is doing. Is Tottenham so injured and so depleted that they have to give these guys like 2-3 weeks on the changing room table? Like,
you can make that excuse for United, though, who've actually have certified injuries. With Spurs, I think Postecoglou has just...
Seems like he's just given up on the Premier League.
I wouldn't even say that. I think like you said, it's different approaches to how they're viewing the Europa League final. The reason I'm a little bit worried for Spurs is because his team has now been left out of the match day. His main team has been left out of the match day squad for about 2 weeks now.
Except for Son, who, I think if you turn him off, he doesn't turn back on.
Well, and the thing with Son is his own starting spot is in jeopardy too because Matheus Tell has been playing pretty decent. But my thing is, Matt, is like, 2 weeks without your main starting 11 playing together, they're going to be playing in training. They're going to have, 11v11 practices. They have 11v11 practices, but it's never game motion, game momentum, the scenery in the background with the fans. But I'm just worried. And obviously United didn't have a great performance. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But I'm worried that Spurs are just okay with losing. It's one thing to lose with your backup team, but the thing is if you play your starting team and you lose this game, that only gives you more motivation with that starting 11 to go back out there and win that big game that's important. Now this team has watched their from the bench, their own team, the rotated side, lose 2 or 3 times in a row. They themselves haven't played in a few weeks. They have even more pressure on themselves than they did previously, where they can shake it off a little bit maybe on Friday. It's very interesting tactic from Postecoglou. I'm very eager to see this
one. So what we need to keep an eye out for is we need to see if Son even starts the Europa League final because maybe he's the rotated side now.
That's what I'm getting
at. But yeah, man, Villa, like, I watched pieces of this game. I was kind of out of it, but I remember seeing they just looked like Villa bossed them.
Yeah. I mean, Spurs only had 3 shot attempts the entire game. Only one on target. This really isn't even a game we should be spending too much time on. Okay. But what I say
we
do...
set up for the Europa League.
For sure. Once we do Chelsea United game, we can do a little... If you want to preview the Europa League final, just
we'll
right
preview
after.
The Europa final, and then we'll jump into the games this weekend.
Cool.
All right, so set this up. This was played at Stamford Bridge?
Yes, sir.
All right, Chelsea 1, Man United 0. Not heavily rotated. They played their top side against you guys to prep for, because they don't play till Thursday, right?
It's Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay. Well, you play on Friday. You play on Wednesday. That gives you 5 days.
Plenty of time. And that's again,
get your team calibrated. That's what I expected. I expected both these to be contests. This was the contest.
Yeah.
The other game was just a shit show.
And I would even argue that this was also a shit show, but it wasn't on United's fault. Both these teams looked like crap today, Matt. Or not today, on Friday, Matt. And
I stayed watching having the other game on the background because I know you'd be watching this game. Yeah. I'm going to defer to you on this one. I just know that when I was watching it, so guys, when I watch on my phone, Reese's text messages disappear very quickly, and I don't want to leave if I'm watching on Peacock to go because Peacock is funky.
It'll mess up your phone a little bit. Yeah.
I'll have to go back into Peacock and start from scratch. So I'll read them for a split second. I only get half of it or don't get the context because I'll just read it. And it was just like, you weren't having like a mental breakdown, but it was like, you were very upset.
Oh yeah. So guys, Matt texted me in the first half. He's like, why is your game still goalless? And I'm like, well, Chelsea are shit in the first half every single game and United are shit. Now, guys, obviously that was banter a little bit at United, but this was a poor performance from both sides.
Now they've lost 18 games in the Premier League.
A club record, 18 games.
Well, and keep this in mind. Remember that we did that prediction a while back, and it's basically I've won it because
Yeah, you've locked it up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I predicted them to get 4 points. They got one.
Yeah. Now they have one more opportunity to try and salvage those 4 points. But man,
but I also picked Spurs to do it, and they've got 1 point. Yeah. And they, I don't even know who they play next weekend. We'll have to see. I just know it's not us, Southampton, or you.
No. But into the game itself, very limited opportunities for both sides. Chelsea woke up in the second half, as they've done pretty much the last 2 months, where they don't play well for the first half and then realize that they're playing football in a competitive match. And they're like, yeah, we should probably, you know, start trying a little bit. But Matt, the goal we scored was beautiful. Very vintage Reece James performance. He had a volley in the first half from outside the box that just clipped off the post. And then he had like this chop turn that he had where it was on his left foot, chopped and went around to his right, and then played a dinger of a ball right to Mark Cucurella's fat forehead, full of hair, into the corner, which was the best spell of the game. It was a deserved goal for Chelsea, and a very unfortunate deserved win, because, again, it was a very sad game to watch. My dog. If he wasn't the best left back in the world after Euros, he's definitely the best left back in the world now. I don't think there's any competition at this point of the season. Nuno Mendes for PSG.
What about Saka? Sorry, guys.
England's best left back.
It's an inside joke that we make fun of Arsenal fans. Anytime they're given a question, 90% of the time, they're, what about Saka? It's just an inside joke with us. I do not really mean it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, we sent this clip around of how they were talking about something. Oh, is Mo Salah the best current player? And then...
No, they're like, who's the best right winger in the Premier League of all time? And that girl said, Bukayo Saka.
Everyone said Mo Salah. And then one guy said another famous player. And then this lady
it was like Ronaldo or something. Yeah.
And this lady in Arsenal goes, what about Bukayo Saka? And it's become an inside gag with us. That like, hey, man, what do we get for lunch? What about Bukayo Saka?
But the good thing about that meme is that she was completely ignored.
Yes, they all ignored her and moved on. But it lives in our hearts. Because it was just like, even I, a guy who loves Bukayo Saka, was like, shut up. touch grass.
My final thoughts on this game is, all I would say is, much like City, Chelsea have two more finals to go. They have to win next weekend, and they have to play for a trophy the week after. So
this is weird. So they're holding the Europa Conference with the week of the Europa League. Or sorry, the Champions League.
Yes, because it's that weekend. But the Conference League is on the Wednesday as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's weird that the Europa League is before the Conference League final.
Yeah.
I have a weird problem with that. I feel like it should have been the Conference League this upcoming Wednesday, just because in terms of importance, you know, obviously, like the placements, whatever. But I felt like it's weird to have the Europa League before the Conference League, because it doesn't seem...
What was funny is I remember the year West Ham won it, they played Thursday, then the Europa League final was on Friday, and then the Champions League was on Saturday. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like Thursday's a game, the day you've played games. Friday is because it's less important than Champions League. Champions League Saturday.
Yep.
But then I'm like...
Now they've just separated one from the other in the same week. But hey... For me, I'm okay with it, because it's a cinema game that's coming up on a Wednesday. That's going
to be
a
fair,
huge determinant.
I think yours is the second best finals game.
Anthony.
Real Betis has been on fire since they made moves in the January transfer window.
It's got to be, come on, we got to do Spurs United.
At least Betis is challenging for Champions League. You guys are challenging for Champions League. You guys are in your top 6-year league.
Oh, man.
Inter is challenging, and they are in the final. PSG has won their title. They're in the Champions League. Then you have the shitburger derby that's going on in the Europa League. And I understand why they played it, because they want to get the stink out of the way, because it's not a – like, Spurs and United are historically good teams, but when you look at their form, they're trash right now. 22 games now for Ange has lost? Or 21?
21.
Yes. In the Premier League, it's 25 in all competitions.
Yeah.
United are undefeated in Europe. They're the only undefeated team in Europe.
But
they
they are lost 17th place, 18th place in the league. 16th
yeah,
place,
Spurs
sorry.
Is 17th place, United is 16th, West Ham is 15th.
You guys got to at least finish above West Ham, man. But they can't.
They can't. Because since we started our bet, they got 1 point.
Yeah.
Un point.
So let's dive into the preview a little
bit. The Europa League.
Obviously, Spurs is going to put in their heavy lineup, so we should expect to see Solanke, Romero, Van de Ven, and then the usual suspects, Kulusevski, Madison. For United, I think there's a little bit more competition for places in that lineup. Like, do you start Amad Diallo, who had a decent game against Chelsea, or do you go with Garnacho's down that right or left flank?
I can't wait to see Garnacho play in Italy.
Yeah,
next season.
You think he's going to Italy?
I don't know where he's going, but
you think he's done with the United?
I think they need to sell him because they're like, they seem like they're financially falling apart. If you need $65 million for Garnacho and doing the contract where you get
Went in January to Chelsea, man. Mm-hmm. They had their opportunity, too.
Oh, that's right. I'm surprised you guys didn't take him. Your collection of children.
Okay, let's chill out with that statement.
Cucurella looks like a youth counselor now. Let's rap about Jesus, guys. And he's only 25.
My favorite clip of Cucurella is when he's like standing next to a rapper, and he starts rapping the rapper's song. He's like, "Quarter mil for a Maybach truck, band for band." Sorry.
What?
Yeah, he just starts rapping the dude's lines next to him. Sorry, I'll show you the meme later, guys.
Yeah, I gotta see this.
This episode's already chopped up, guys. Yeah, but we'll get
back.
It's
been a rough season for both of us. My team is basically done now. The next game is just icing on the cake. It's away. Yeah. This is our home finale. Reese still has to win two games
to determine our season.
Ange, Amarin, they have one game. Everything rides on this week.
The thing is if
so, let's set up the preview here. So since we've already gone over both teams, 1-17th, 1-16th, if any of the relegation sides have been any good this year, then they could have been relegated. Yeah.
And still gone to the Champions League possibly next season from the championship.
But here's the thing. Whoever loses, Expressions has made this point. If they don't win this game, their season has been the worst they've ever had.
Yep.
If United doesn't win, it's the worst season they've ever had. What they're counting on is a trophy contested between two losers.
Yes.
So they can then make fun of City and Arsenal. It's going to be great. I am here for it. I'm with the popcorn. I kind of hope Tottenham wins it.
Their first trophy ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
then now I think the onus will be on to take it back to Arsenal as a typical Arsenal fan. Now the onus is on us. Tottenham has broke their trophy drought. Crystal Palace has broken their trophy drought. We're the only big team in London that didn't win a trophy, says West Ham.
Yeah. Well, we don't know about Chelsea.
Oh, Fulham. I forgot about Fulham. Yeah. Sorry.
We don't know about Chelsea yet, you know.
Well, you guys are going to win.
Anthony, man. Okay, let's lock in on the Europa League really quickly. So, obviously, these both games are a determination of Ange's job. If United lose, do you think Amorim's job is in jeopardy?
I think the fans will want his head, and they might kill him and put it on a stick. But I don't think the board's going to fire him.
Gotcha.
I think they're going to give him a transfer window to get him in some players he wants.
Do you think if they start similar to how they started the season this past year, is he going to have the same timeline that Ten Hag had?
I don't know. Because Ineos came in. He was rehired before Ineos took over, and then Ten Hag, guys, sorry for context.
Yep.
And then they brought in Amorim after the takeover, after they gave him time. I honestly don't know, because Sir Jim Ratcliffe seems like a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, apparently there's estimates he's lost 1/5 of his wealth since he bought United and the stock market crashes and gone ups and valleys and stuff.
And it's still not helping out the staff to go to a Europa League final. It took Amorim to pay for those staff to go, which we appreciate. Okay, so obviously boss's job is in jeopardy, though, for this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
100%? Okay.
So what happened last year was that we talked about this, where they played Man City and the fans wanted them to lose and Champions League was on the line. And I really think that created a schism between Ange and the fans and the club. Because their hatred for Arsenal overrides them wanting to be do good. And I don't think they understand the finances of how the league works. If they lose this final, they may have players that want to leave.
Yeah. And not just that, they may have some PSR issues, which, good thing is they never really spent that much of their Harry Kane money. Like, they put in a decent chunk, like a solid decent chunk, but you rely so heavily on that top four, or even top five, I guess, to give you the funding to be able to stay afloat.
Well, and the thing too is the new Champions League structure now gives them more money. But if they end up getting eliminated early, they still get their money, but you get like 80 mil.
Yeah.
The real money comes when you make it to the knockout round. The teams who finish in, and I hate to say this because I don't remember the numbers because it's so new, the first season, the dark red, they're basically done.
Yeah.
100%. I think they give them 70 million and say, have a great day. 70, 75.
Not bad, though.
Not bad, but it's like, you look at what like Arsenal, PSG, and Inter and Barcelona are going to rake in this year. Arsenal and Barcelona are going to rake in 125. That's 175 for Inter and PSG before they even win. Who wins? Whoever wins gets a bigger bucket than that.
Barcelona's money is going straight to Spotify Premium. Got to pay back all that TV rights debt. But Matt, let's do it here. Let's finish off here.
Who do you think is going to win the Europa? I already said who I think is going to win.
That was my final question. Mm-hmm. Prediction time, my friends.
Spurs.
What's the score?
3-2. Because I think they're going to get up ahead, but then they're going to activate Super Harry Maguire, and he's going to get them close, but they're going to lose it.
Matt, I'm going to be honest. I don't see either team scoring for a while in this game. My God. I think it's 0-0. I think it goes down to penalties. And then it's going to be goalie versus goalie. Ooh, nah, steps up to take it. He missed. Spurs have won the Europa League final off of a missed Onana penalty. That's what I'm going with, Matt.
Wow.
11-10 in the penalty scoreline matchup goes to Manchester United. And I'm gonna, honestly, up until Onana missing that penalty, I'm being serious. I think this does go to penalties, and I think Spurs win it, man. I don't know why, but with the way United and Spurs have looked this season, it's hard for me to see them both scoring goals. Now, maybe at the most,
how many Spurs games have you watched this season?
A handful, probably like five.
I have unfortunately been forced to because the way these games have played out, where I will choose to take another game so you can watch your team. Yeah. I have watched Spurs 10 or 11 times this year. I've watched Man United 13 to 15 times this season.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Brentford and Brighton ball this year.
Yeah. I watched a lot of Nottingham Forest, Spurs, and United, and Arsenal and Chelsea. Arsenal's the most, Chelsea second, and then those two teams come in, and then Forest is right behind them. And I think that Spurs, if they are rested and they have their defenders back, I think they're going to smash United. But they're also going to, by doing that, going to make Super Harry Maguire go Super Saiyan, and he's going to give them hell for the final like 30 minutes of the game.
If Mason Mount can get any sort of Champions League form from him when he was at Chelsea, I think United have a shot. And I also think Ahmad, if the starting lineup for United is Garnacho on the left, Ahmad on the right, I think that's scary for United, and I think that's good for them. If it is anybody different on those wings, I don't think United will win the game. I think they need to start with their two best wingers. I know Ahmad just came back from injury a month ago, but it's the final. You got nothing coming up after this summer. You guys aren't in the Club World Cup. Play your best lineup.
So let's go over this now. We are going to the games that were played today on Sunday.
Reese,
can you bring them up? Because I got the audio on my screen.
Sunday. First up, we got Everton. And these guys, some of these games will be super quick like this one. We got Everton beating Southampton 2-0.
Let's just leave it at that. Who scored?
That was their last home game of the season. Ilium Indaye. Congratulations.
In their horribly named stadium.
Yeah. What is it? Isn't it just Goodison Park again?
No, they named it to like Hill Jenkinson or something stadium.
Oh, God. Now, this is Everton's last home game. You'll see in our predictions who they're playing on Tuesday when we go over our predictions.
Who scored the goals? Just go over that real quick.
Ilium Indaye.
Okay. Next game.
Up next, we have West Ham at home losing to Nottingham Forest 2-1.
This didn't help you at all.
Yeah. I will say, though, I did watch some of this game. West Ham lost to themselves, pretty much. They had their goalkeeper play a pass directly to Morgan Gibbs-White, who had the easiest finish of his life. And then I guess they went on to score again from Milinkovic in the 61st minute, and death taxes and Gerard Bowen getting a very nice goodbye goal for the West Ham fans in their last home game of the season. Credit to Forest. Into the next game, Matt. We got a little bit of a barn burner here. We got Brentford at home losing 2-3 to Fulham in a bangout.
Yeah. West London derby.
Yes, sir. We had Raul Jimenez getting on the score sheet in the 16th minute, Mbeumo in the 22nd, Wissa in the 43rd to take a 2-1 lead, and then in the second half, Tom Kearney and the most African man in the country, Harry Wilson, finishing off for Fulham, making it 3-2. And I believe Fulham's last game of the season is going to be against City at home. So again, City have a very tough matchup with Bournemouth and Fulham to follow up. We'll have to see how those play out. Any thoughts on that game, Matt?
God dang, good for them.
Second to last game here, we have Leicester at home beating Ipswich Town 2-0 with Jamie Vardy shushing the Ipswich away fans when he scored.
Final game, home game for the club.
Yes.
And so he's played 500 games for the club and scored 200 goals for Leicester.
That was his 200th goal. Hey, good pull. Good pull there.
I'm a Jamie Vardy fan.
There you go. And then, lastly but not least, we have the best gooners in England. We have Arsenal winning 1-0 against Newcastle, which is a very big result for the top five.
Decky Rice!
And the reason I say this is a big result for top five is because if Newcastle would have won this game, they would have actually climbed into second. But Arsenal,
if they drew, then they would have been 1 point above everyone chasing them. But now they're three teams tied on 66 points.
Yeah, let's do a quick table recap before we get into your game. So we have, obviously we're not going to recap. Mm-hmm. This is only top five, guys. So we have fifth place, Villa with 66 points. Fourth place, Chelsea with 66 points. Third place, Newcastle with 66 points. And locking up the number two spot is Arsenal.
Well, there's a scenario where, because it's 66 to 71, right?
Yeah. So they'd have to get, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
But City... Well, technically, City can tie you guys now that I'm thinking about it. But you guys would still win on goal differential because City plays on Tuesday. They will get up to 68 points. But you guys, whatever. City's in sixth place right now, 1 point off that top five race. Matt, into the game itself. What were your thoughts on this one?
I am always nervous when we play this Eddie Howe's Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Eddie Howe seems to want to beat us like Unai Emery wants to beat us. But unlike Unai, I understand Unai. Like, I don't understand Greenmaresh, and I don't understand...
the Newcastle fans have a hatred towards you guys, which I've yet to figure out.
Yeah, just like with Liverpool just turning on us this year. And it's just like, I'm like, I don't remember having feuds with you. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's just like everyone hates us now.
It's like that one Thanos meme when he gets like, they bring out the old Thanos. When Thanos dies and they bring out like, they go back in time to get the other Thanos. And Wanda comes out. He's like, I don't even know who the hell you are. She's like, you took everything from me.
Well, we've given them things.
Exactly.
We gave you the League Cup. We gave you Greenmaresh because we didn't want to, like, we couldn't break the bank for him.
So what's the hatred for then, guys?
I think that, I don't know what it is, but it was just nice to beat them because this is the fourth game they played against Newcastle this year, and they've lost the previous three. Yeah. It wasn't a pretty win. They sucked in the first half. They turned on some energy reserves in the second half, and then they almost lost it in the end.
I will say, though, Newcastle's performance overall was also sucky. From what I saw, at least in the first half, I didn't watch too much of the second, but what I did see, which I think is a very good positive note going into next season, preseason, we got to see a little bit of Kai Havertz ball being back on
King
the pitch.
King Kai's back.
Yes, sir. He's going to have a big season next season because he will maybe play in that number eight role, or he'll be your number nine next season, depending on
how the transfer market goes out.
Exactly. So,
but what I've found, as an Arsenal fan, we've entered a new phase because, like, I've been hearing rumors that the new sporting director from Atletico is, like, a workaholic, and Edu was just, like, kind of like the... Oh, we get it when we get it. We get it. You know, he takes breaks with his wife in Brazil at the barbecue, the asado, you know. I know it's an Argentinian term, but whatever.
By the way, guys, Matt got me a very cool Argentina logo keychain thing, which I appreciate.
I tried to get you the Emmy Martinez poster for his burger from the burger place, and I offered to pay the people in Bariloche for their poster and the corporate manager said they couldn't give it away. And then I went to two more in Buenos Aires and they wouldn't sell it to me. I offered them 100 Argentinian pesos.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if the lady just...
I'm sorry. No. I offered them 10,000 Argentinian pesos.
Oh my God.
That's $9.
Hey, but still, man, I appreciate it. So,
and they would not sell it to me. I was just like, but mi amigo in Estados Unidos, Encanto, Emmy Martinez. And they're like, no. 20,000, 20,000 pesos. And I pulled out the 20,000 other pesos, and they would not sell it to me. That was my gift, and then I got that for you because I could not get you what I wanted. Damn. I was going to get that shit framed for you, Reese.
I was going to say, if the lady came home and just saw me hanging that up, what would be her reaction?
Just a stinky burger ad from the Argentinian Burger King with just Emmy Martinez, with a burger with avocado and egg.
For her, that'd be just be some random guy just eating a burger. She'd be so lost.
Yeah, she'd be like, what the fudge? Oh, actually, now I need to go back and I need to offer
double.
Yeah, 50,000 pesos. And I'll be like, I don't care. Just take it off the wall. Take it in the back and give it to me. I will give you cash.
Exactly.
I will give you more than what you make in a week. Just give me that poster.
Any final thoughts on this match, my friend?
I just was happy to see Arsenal beat Newcastle. Yep. Apparently there's going to be a lot of people leaving Declan Rice in his post-match interview that a lot of players are going to be leaving the club, and they're going to have to do a lot of signings.
Interesting.
So I'm curious who those are going to be. I mean, a lot of them are on loan. We know Sterling and Neto are going to go.
Yeah. Sterling, feel free to stay at Arsenal, my friend. I'm sure they'd be happy to keep you as an assistant coach, you know, wingers coach. You'd offer a lot to their coaching staff. But by the way, guys, that is the last game we're previewing because Monday we have Brighton, Liverpool. Tuesday, Crystal Palace and Wolves. And
do you
want to
preview
Bournemouth.
Those three?
Yeah, we can. But just really quickly, guys, we will be recapping those on Tuesday in our short episode along with our
previewing the penultimate weekend.
The full final games of the weekend of the Premier League. But Matt, tomorrow we have Brighton, Liverpool. This is a big game for Brighton as they're still battling for Europe. Who do you have in this one?
I want to give it to Brighton. I think that they might smash Pool. Like, not smash, but smash and grab Pool.
Yep. They need to win this.
2-1.
This would put them into eighth place, which I think certifies them at least the Conference League. Possibly, depending on how the seeding crap goes, maybe Europa League.
Can I ask you a question? Like, have you followed any kind of Liverpool social media, their fans, like their version of expressions or anything? No. I've never seen a team win a trophy, dog other people, and then turn on themselves. They are like talking about Darwin Nunez like he is a piece of shit that they want to scrape off their shoes and throw in the trash.
What happened?
I don't know. I just saw these videos of these guys talking about Darwin Nunez, and they're just like, he's shit in front of goal. We don't want him. We don't need him. He costs us this much money, and I'm glad he's going to leave. I'm glad the relationships, like, apparently they're saying it's irreparable between the club, the coach, and Darwin Nunez. And I'm just like, I don't think Darwin Nunez is worth what they paid for him, but I think Darwin Nunez is a 60 million pound player. If Arsenal offered that to him, I wouldn't be mad. As long as they get him for a price that's what I think he's worth, I think his valuable contributions are worth that much.
100%. Yeah.
But how old is Darwin? Will he be like the senior statesman on your team if he joined?
No, he's only like 22, 21. He fit perfectly into our team.
He just looks old.
Yeah, 100%. My thing is, Matt.
Oh, my God. Dude, like.
The privileged
Zinchenko needs to go to Chelsea.
The privileged classless fan bases, and it's starting to creep into every single Big Six team where they think this, you know, they have this privilege as fans of just winning, and that means they could talk about their players a certain way when...
Like the Trent thing, we've already covered that. Yeah. I'm not going to bring it up, but I just like they're cannibalizing their own.
Yeah.
And it's like they're like, well, we got Salah and we got Van Dijk. And that's all we really need. I'm like, no, it's not. And those guys are in the twilights of their careers.
And why can't we just appreciate players who just helped win a title? Like, yeah, did Darwin Nunez overall contribute a lot to the team?
Yes.
In a sense, yes. But is he replaceable? Possibly. Yes. You know, is he a good
player? I think he's irreplaceable by Luis Diaz.
Yeah, but he's a good player. He was great as a number nine in certain games. He won you, I'd say, at least two or three games because he is the definition of chaos. He scored a couple 90th-minute winners. He's taking his shirt off.
For a team that has no chaos, I would want chaos.
Exactly. So, yeah,
but you can also play in a system and then turn on chaos.
It's not even just Darwin Nunez. Like, this is how they're starting to turn into, like you said, their own, all their players. Like we said with Trent. So it's just, Guys, if you guys win a trophy, appreciate everybody. As a Celtics fan, I see all you motherfuckers hating on Jason Tatum, calling him trash, even though he literally led the team in points, rebounds, and assists.
I don't think Jason Tatum's trash. I think he's a great player, but I think he's corny. He's corny on the level of Russell Westbrook.
But that's the thing.
I don't think the man knows how to talk to women. Have you seen him leering at girls in the stands?
But
the videos of on the internet? It's hilarious.
The man has
zero riz. Paco has more riz than Jason Tatum.
But that's the thing, though, is you can say he's corny, but you can't call him trash.
No.
And the fans do it both.
That's just Knicks fans. They call everyone trash.
No. But Matt, here's the thing, is they called him trash after last season when they won the finals, even though he led his teams in points, rebounds, and assists, just because he didn't have a high shooting percentage. I'm tired of it, dude.
Yeah.
And the same thing, and to relate it back to Darwin Nunez, yes, Darwin Nunez didn't score 20 goals this season. Sala did. Yes, he is your face of your franchise. But you need your role guys. You need players who are going to contribute, even if it's in a one-game scenario.
I think the scenario is that they just don't like him because they paid so much money for him, and he misses a lot.
That's true.
But I think they overpaid for him. But the thing was, those teams in Portugal, that's the only way they get money is to sell teams.
We got Enzo Fernandez, man. They ransacked us dry in January, man. 105 million or whatever in a January window is absurd.
All right, but let's get in. So I predict Brighton's going to win this one to smash and grab. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Brighton as well.
So same prediction. Yeah. All right, who do we have next? Crystal Palace up?
Crystal Palace at home hosting Wolves.
Oof.
I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. I think Palace are riding a little bit of a high, maybe a little bit of a hangover. I'm going to go with 2-2. Yeah.
I'm going to go for 1-1.
Got you.
I think it's going to be – they're going to score, and then Mateta or Eze is going to get them a goal so they don't go down, solidifying them going into the final week. And City plays Bournemouth next, right?
At home, we have Manchester City hosting Bournemouth. Ruben Dias said in this little preview thing here that the Man City's remaining games are two massive finals for the Champions League. So that's the way they're treating it. I wonder how Bournemouth is going to treat it as well, since it looks like they've pretty much certified Europa League. Or the Conference League, again, no one knows what the effing seedings look like until the season's over. But it looks like Bournemouth have certified Europe.
And I will work up for next week my Iberian Peninsula manager of the season.
Oh, yes, the Spanish.
The table.
Yes, I love that's my favorite time of the year.
Well, I'm going to include the Portuguese managers in it now. I'm going to call it the Iberian Peninsula.
Okay.
Well, that's what it is. It's called the Iberian Peninsula.
Respect.
It's got Andorra. It's got...
How many Andorran people do you know?
I don't know anyone, but there's another country. There's four countries. Gibraltar is also in the...
How many Gibraltan people do you know?
I met one.
And
when I was in the military, he was serving in the British military.
All right, respect. All right, who do you got in this one, Matt?
I want Bournemouth to win this 2-0.
Away from home as well?
Mm-hmm. They've had success in big teams away.
They do. Oh, man, this is going to be a fun game to watch.
They feed off the energy.
What sucks is we have to work during all this. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
My prediction is they're going to win. I want it to be 2-0, but I think it might be any combination of between 3-2, 3-1, down to 1-0. But I think Bournemouth's going to win this one.
Gotcha.
Because City is in a quote-unquote cup final again, but they just lost a real cup final. And they don't seem to have their what do you call it?
Do you think with City they just kind of overlook this team, the Palace team for the FA Cup final, and maybe they are focusing a little bit too much on the league? Do you think that's what it is? So maybe they are actually treating these two games as the cup final versus
maybe.
The actual cup final.
But it's like what's funny is I remember that guy the in the modern era guy, since you remember, he was making this big deal about how cup finals were important. And how you lost all of them, so you're better because you keep making it to the cup finals. And I'm like, damn, City has like lost four of the last FA Cup, lost three of the four last FA Cup finals, right?
And two of them were to a Crystal Palace team who finished 12th, as we've just discussed, and a Manchester United team who's currently in 17th place last season, who finished 8th, I believe, and fucking leapfrogged.
Oh, I'm sorry, they've lost half their FA Cup finals in the last 4 years, but yeah. It's interesting because it's like, yeah, they keep doing it, but maybe if they burn up their resources because the league's getting harder.
Yeah.
Who knows, I may lose them Champions League. I would hate to see.
Maybe that's why Haaland didn't want to take his penalty, because he wanted to keep his leg rested for.
Well, here's a scenario. If, let's say, they don't make it to the Champions League, I would love to see City in the Europa League.
be hilarious.
Oh my God. Like, how, like, that's what the Europa League needs. Like, you know how, like,
they need a titan in the Europa. Well, last season we had Barcelona and Manchester United playing a Europa League match. I remember that.
But I'm saying, like, this one's going to leave a sour taste in everyone's mouth, because no matter who wins, it's a team that's in 16th or 17th place in a league winning the Europa League. I think they need to do, like, when a big out of, like, wrestler who comes from out of from another territory, like, comes in, like when AJ Styles came in from New Japan.
Who's the one guy from WrestleMania who fought Randy Orton?
Oh, Joe Hendry.
Yeah,
I believe in Joe Hendry.
Sorry, guys. My minimal wrestling knowledge. I do remember a guy that I watched from WrestleMania. Yeah,
there's a perfect example. They need Man City to come in to the Europa League like Joe Hendry.
They need a Joe Hendry to come out.
Yes, you can. Man City fans, we've had a few listens from Manchester in this podcast. Not a consistency from them. But if you want to send us an email, I put it in the show notes, and tell me that comparing Joe Hendry to Man City is an affront to your religion, I will take it.
I could get you these. I got some good polls. Even though I don't got the ball knowledge like I used to, I still got the polls, man. Still got the polls.
But I want to see City in the Europa League, because that would be be crazy.
It'd be cinema.
I think we would see 5-0s in the Europa League, like, consistently.
Can you imagine, Anthony?
They would run the table.
Can you imagine Anthony permanently signs for Real Betis, and then you have Anthony dunking on Manchester City in the Europa League next year? I think that's beautiful. I think that type of shit is beautiful. But
we'll see how it shakes out. So I don't have any stoppage time for you, man. We've kind of worked in all the stoppage time questions. Yep.
I got nothing for you, man. But guys, we've had a big episode.
We did an hour, Reese. Hey. 51 minutes on the short podcast.
We like to yap over here, especially in the Matthew studio. As you guys can tell, the vibes are always better. We're not in a post-work mood on recording remotely.
Yeah, we're not like Reese has been off work for 5 minutes and I've gone and had to rush walk the dog and I'm just like sweaty. I'm like, you ready? I'm getting there.
But guys, we will see you on Tuesday for that post-work recording, because we do want to get you the predictions for next Sunday's Big Sunday, as well as the reviews from Manchester City's one of their second cup finals coming up here. So Matt, close up, my friend.
Live long, watch some football, lads.